Life Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. I'm posting this episode a little bit later than usual on a Monday because my entire family came down with the flu, so we are recovering. But even so, I have a very refreshing episode for you today. Our guest is named Dana Vootberg, and we have a great conversation. We talk a lot about how in this social media world, oftentimes the so-called mundane life is actually the most abundant life in God's world. We talk about John 10:10 that says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I will tell you this much, I needed to hear this today. I needed to hear this when we recorded it. And so I just hope that this is so refreshing for your soul the way it was for mine. After a few words from our sponsors, we will get right into it with Dana.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I know. Well, let's get into your story. I want to hear more. I obviously know a little bit about you, but I don't really know much about where you're at lately, so I'm excited to hear. But do you want to tell us, just to kind of get started, when did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or how did you come to know God?
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian home. I feel like I have a very standard, like, childhood testimony, like, I grew up in a Christian home type story. But there is one sort of memory that I have when I was like 7 years old, coming home from church, asking my dad to help me accept Jesus into my heart. And we were like sitting in our computer room. I was just like sitting in the chair, and he helped me pray to accept Jesus into my heart. And that's like my first distinct memory of being a Christian. And then just like growing up, you know, you like grow up in a Christian home and you do the Christian-y things, you go to church on Sundays and like you're involved in youth group and that sort of stuff. But I feel like I didn't really know who Jesus was and like what he actually did for me until much later in life. Throughout high school, I was in sports like all year round. So I had tournaments on the weekends. I had practice like every single day. So I was just really on the go. I was super busy. And I kind of stopped going to church probably in ninth grade. I think eighth grade is like my last memory of like youth group and stuff. And then ninth grade is really when everything picked up. I stopped going to youth group. I probably wasn't going to church as much on Sundays. And then all throughout high school, that was kind of like my story. I was a Christian, but I like wasn't participating in church or youth group. And most of my friends from high school are not Christians, which like breaks my heart. And I'm like, I want you to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I wasn't like a bad kid. I was probably just like, I wouldn't say goody two shoes. I was just like the good kid in our friend group who like didn't really do bad things. But I didn't have like, I would say like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I didn't know what it meant. And so I was just like, I have to be a good person. And then before I went to college, my dad really like pressed into me, Dana, like get involved in a Bible study while you're there. He was just so adamant. And I kind of like fluffed him off like, okay, dad, yeah, like I'll do that. But I was like dead set on like going to college and having the college experience. But God had some other plans, and God had his plans, I had my plans, and like they kind of overlapped. And like, it's just my college story is pretty interesting. But freshman year, like the first week of college, I met two girls who lived on my floor, and they invited me to a Bible study. So it was like totally God just moving in that way. And just him really pursuing me during that time of my life, because I feel like that time specifically in a person's life is so influential. Like, you can go one way or the other so easily. You meet so many people at college, and if you get in with the wrong crowd, like that could totally steer the direction of your college experience. So like the Lord was so good to me in introducing me to these people who quickly became some of my great friends. I got involved in a Bible study, and then later that semester at like a Christian conference in Indianapolis, like gave my heart to Jesus again. So it had been probably like 11 years since I had like given my heart to Jesus, and like this time I really understood more. So that was really cool. I just like remember like feeling like I was filled with the Holy Spirit in that time. And I like if I look back on my younger self, I don't really feel like I had the Holy Spirit. I'm sure he was there. I just did not realize because I didn't know. But yeah, so my freshman year, regave my life to Christ, and then I went on a summer mission with a Christian organization that summer, and I spent 10 weeks in Virginia Beach with like 50 other Christian students, and it was awesome. But like when I came home from that, it like kind of rocked my world to see that like that life I had been living for 10 weeks is so different from like what the rest of the world is like. I was living in this bubble, just surrounded by Christians 24/7, and I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. And then when I got back to campus my sophomore year, I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like people are living so differently, and just being like so sad because I wanted to be back in that bubble, but it just like wasn't the reality of life anymore. And I kind of like fell into this depression of like, well, I want it to be a certain way and it's not. And just coming to realize that like this is what the world is. Like the world is just a sad and lonely place without Jesus. And the rest of my like college experience was such a roller coaster of like saying I'm a Christian and being a Christian and doing a lot of Christian things, but also just like falling into the trap that the world sets for us, especially in college, and like getting involved with the wrong people, and like still having like my Christian friends, but spending a lot more time with my non-Christian friends, and just like doing this up and down roller coaster that was just so exhausting. And so after graduating college, I came home and I got plugged in with a like an adult, a young adults ministry at my church right away, which like wasn't even really my plan. My friend invited me because she was living in the area now, a friend from college. And so I was like, sure, I'll go. And just like being plugged in with that right away is just like I can look back and see so evidently that God's hand was so in my life, just like carrying me through one season to the next, like really pressing on me, like, Dana, come back to me. Like, your life is so much better when you are living for me. So got really involved in that young adult ministry. Ended up meeting some of my best friends who ended up standing in my wedding because I met my husband at this young adults ministry. And yeah, the Lord just did like great things in that season of life, and he's only like grown my faith stronger since then. So I know it's like it's not the case for a lot of people after college. I feel like if you're involved in a ministry in college and then you leave, it can be so hard to find Christian friends outside of college. So I'm just so thankful and feel so blessed that the Lord really led me in that direction and brought me to these people and to this church and just had his hand on me this whole time.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And I love that, like, you recognize it's God's gift to you, but there's also your piece in it too, that you were obedient to him to go where he was calling you. 'Cause you could have so easily, not gone to those young adult groups, or 'cause
Yeah.
sometimes it's hard to put yourself out there when you don't know anybody. And
Oh, for
so
sure.
the fact that you were obedient in that, like, the blessing came from your obedience. And so I love hearing that story. And I like that you shared what you did about college. And I really hope that people who are, like, going to college soon, or anyone who's in college, I hope they listen to this and can be encouraged, especially if they're on the fence with, like, who to be friends with, or who to spend their time with, or what to do with their summers. Because, like you mentioned, it's such a influential time in our lives. And I think a lot of our lives after college is set in college,
Right.
because we're building the foundations of who we are. It's really the first time we go out and take what we learned at home, but apply it to ourselves and say, okay, is this really what I think, believe, how I want to live? And we just become our own person. So I
Right.
like that you gave kind of an encouragement and call to action for anyone in that season currently, because hopefully they can, realize that it is important that we, if we want to be Christ followers, it's important to be obedient to filling up our life with light and love and hanging around people who love him too.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if I could have so easily come home from college and just like started hanging out with my high school friends all over again. And I still see them. I love them dearly. We are just so different. We do not participate in the same activities. And so I spend a lot less time with them, which is okay because when I am with them, it's fun. It's like exciting to talk to them and catch up on their lives and what's going on. It's not the same kind of conversations. It's not like activities that I necessarily want to partake in, which is okay. I'm just like, come over to this side. It's so much
Yeah.
better on this side.
Yeah, and I like what you said too about, like, going away to this, like, 10-week program and then coming back and just being shocked. 'Cause I had a very similar experience too, where I did that as well. I went 10 weeks to Lake Tahoe with the same organization that you're talking about, and I loved it. It felt like heaven on earth. Like, not that there was never any drama or negativity or anything like that, because we're humans at the end of the day. But for the most part, it was really a picture of what heaven could look like just a bunch of believers gathered and seeking to be holy and worship God. And it was such a cool glimpse of, like, what heaven on earth could look like. And I'm glad and grateful to have that experience, because now we know what it can be. But it's hard when it's not naturally set up that way for you, and you're kind of looking around like, how am I supposed to live in the world now? Because that was so great.
Right. I know it is. It's like this culture shock. And it's not like I grew up in a huge bubble. Like I went to public school, which is like you're going to get anything in public school. And so I didn't grow up in this huge bubble, but then like I found myself in this bubble and I like didn't want to leave, which isn't necessarily like the best thing because, the Lord has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And so I feel like I just wanted to be in like the comfort of that bubble, that Christian bubble, to be with like-minded people. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we still have to be a witness to those outside of that bubble.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would love to hear from you. I know we talked about some things already, but have there been any experiences that have helped change or shape your view of God, or, like, any significant events or seasons of life that have really defined your faith? I know we kind of talked about a few already, but are there any others?
Yeah, so definitely that season after college getting involved in the young adults ministry at our church. I'm not involved in it anymore just because like life has grown and now I'm participating in like big church and like with the adults and stuff. And like that season was just so good, and it was obviously like a gift from God meant for such a good purpose. But I think like meeting my husband in that setting was just such a gift. I mentioned earlier just in our one-on-one conversation that like I had always wanted to meet someone at church just because like, you know, it sounds like a good story and whatnot. But the Lord just like was so good to me in introducing me to Caleb, because like looking back on my life, he was like the first guy to ever really intentionally pursue me for my heart instead of for my body. And like, man, it's just such a difference, the type of guy that you meet when he is like caring for your heart and not just trying to get something out of you. And that was just like such a shock, because being at such a big university and being involved with like the wrong crowd, you meet so many guys who are like just not great. Like,
oh yeah.
They could be like quote unquote good people in society, but like one-on-one with a girl, they're not like the greatest people. And so meeting Caleb was just such a blessing, because it like the way he pursued me, I just like see God's hand in that so much. And it just felt like, man, this is such a picture of the way God is pursuing my heart too and chasing me down. And like ultimately, like, you know, I went back and forth with Caleb of like, do I want to date him or do I just want to be his friend? And it was just like, I was so scared of committing. But he ultimately was like, even if you don't want to date me, I just want to be your friend. And so that was like so awesome for me, because it kind of just like took this pressure off and I could be his friend. And like nothing had to happen. We just had to be like, we got to be friends. And it eventually turned into more, which I'm so thankful for. But like right after we got married, you know, you're in this like such exciting state of life, like you're dating and then you're engaged and then you get married and all these things are happening for you and they're so wonderful. And then you get back from your honeymoon and you're like, oh my gosh, like what do we have to look forward to now? Like this is just everyday life now. I'm living with a boy. Like what's going on? And I was like in between jobs at the time. Like I was still nannying, but I was nannying a lot less. And so I was trying to figure out like what am I doing with my life? Like what do I want to do for work? Like he's got his career, he's great at it. It might not be like his passion, but it's like he's really good at it. He doesn't mind going to work every day. And I'm like, man, I want something that I'm like passionate about, that I'm like excited to go to work for every day, and like that I enjoy doing. And I just like was in this weird season of life where I would wake up every day and be like, what am I gonna do today? Like, I don't have a job to go to right now. I feel weird because my husband's like working his regular job 8 hours a day, like providing for us. What am I doing? I'm just like sitting here gobbling up his income. And so it was just like this like 3 month season of life of me just waking up every day and like asking God, like, where do you want me right now? What do you have for me? And just like relying on him so much to kind of point me in a direction. And, you know, the direction and like God's voice hasn't necessarily been super clear during this time. And like, that was almost 2 years ago. But like, I remember a time where he just like was like, focus on me. If you just like keep praying, keep coming to me, keep focusing on me, like I'm gonna give you rest. And like what you do for work, like sure it matters to an extent, but it's like not the end all be all of your life. And like just like work hard, be faithful and just rest in me. And like, I don't know, I'm someone who has a very hard time like just resting, and like I can sit down and like look relaxed, but like my mind is always going a million miles a minute. And so just like being in this season to like rest, I don't know, it was like really refreshing. And it was like such a like important time in my walk with the Lord, of just like coming off of this high of just getting married and then trying to figure out like, what the heck does the Lord want for me? Where is he taking us in our marriage? And then just like having some rest and like getting some answers, getting answers here and there. But like, I think sometimes as Christians, we think like God's going to take us on this huge adventure in like our work life and in our personal life. And like, we're just going to be like going all over the place and doing all these amazing things. And like, that's not the reality for most people. Like, God just calls us to be faithful in the mundane. And I think that's so hard for me, because, you know, you pull up social media and you see everyone doing all these things, but that's just like a highlight reel. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. I'm like, I want my life to look a certain way, but like, am I only wanting that because that's what I see on social media? And like, is the Lord just calling me to be faithful in the here and now, in like this gray area of life? So sorry, that was kind of like a tangent. I went all over the place.
No, I loved it. I could not agree more with all of that. And I do think we live in a dangerous time in society, because social media is so much a part of our everyday lives and our norm, that we see how someone is living across the world. We see everything, and it makes us think that our reality is less than sometimes. Right. It doesn't always make us feel that way, but it can. Right. And that's a really hard place to be in when we're exactly where God wants us. And he may, like, that's something I've wrestled with too, where it's like, he may call me to a very average, mediocre, quotation marks, mediocre life. Right. And why am I upset about that? Right. What is wrong with that? Like, that's beautiful. You know, right. I don't know. So I think it's a hard time in culture right now, though, to accept that.
For sure. Well, because you just like, at least the way my brain and my thumb operates, I open my phone and my thumb immediately just goes to Instagram. And so you open up Instagram and you see all these things that people are doing and like these big, bold lives that they're living. And you're like, man, that looks amazing. I would love that. And then you even see like people posting their everyday lives. And even if it is mundane, you're like, wow, their mundane life looks way better than my mundane life.
Right.
And it's just that like false image and that lie that like someone else's life is so great just because they post it on social media. And that doesn't mean like we can't post on social media and like share our lives, but I think it's so easy to just fall into this trap of like, you know, wanting something that like might not necessarily be what is good and what the Lord has called us to. And yeah, it's just like remembering, like you said, that even if the Lord has called me to this quote unquote mediocre life, like at the end of the day, when we die, like the ultimate goal is to stand before the Lord and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And like, I don't know, I think that response from the Lord can so easily come from this mediocre life of like just being faithful in the everyday to your husband, to your kids, in your work, whatever you're doing. And the world just wants to tell us a different story.
Yes. And I think that's the thing. It's like redefining what's mediocre, because to your point, following Jesus and knowing Jesus, there's nothing mediocre about that.
Right.
Like, that's so actually, like you said, that's when you die at the end of your life and Jesus says, well done. Like, that's not mediocre. That's magnificent. That's right. Perfect. That's everything. Right. And that's amazing. So I wish that the world didn't tell us that that's mediocre because it's not. But yeah, just redefining. I think that's what it comes down to, and retraining our brains to not be in that headspace as much as we can.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks for sharing all that. And then I guess just as we close out, I would love to hear if you have like a favorite verse or something that you've been learning lately that you could share with us.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because my favorite verse in the Bible is John 10:10, which says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly." And I feel like that verse can totally be taken out of context with the word abundantly, because I feel like in the world, when we hear abundance, we think of wealth and prosperity and material things. But I feel like in like what the Lord is saying to us here is like, you're going to have an abundance of love and joy and peace and fruits of the Spirit. And like you, and like, not to say there's not going to be hard times in life. There is absolutely going to be hard times in life. Like the Bible tells us that it's not going to be a cakewalk, but it'll be worth it. So that's one of my favorite verses that I always just like go back to. But right now, a verse that I'm just really holding on to that my dad always reminds me of is Proverbs 3:5-6, which is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." And that's just been like something I'm really clinging to this season, because we're in between houses. We sold our house. We're currently living in my parents' basement. We're searching for a new house. And we've just got a lot of things in life going on, big things that are exciting that are coming up. But just like trusting in the Lord and leaning on him and remembering that like when we live in him and we're trusting in him and acknowledging him in the things that we do in our lives, he is not going to lead us astray. He is not going to lead us down a path that's like detrimental to our lives. And I think we have this idea and this picture of what we hope our lives to look like. And, you know, right now in this season of house hunting, I'm like, I have this idea of what I want my future house to look like. But like, I know that the Lord has already prepared the house that we're going to live in. Like, he already knows it. He's established it. He knows the days that we're going to live there, the things that are going to happen in this house. I think it's just sometimes so hard to remember that and trust in him, but just like really holding on to that verse of trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's not going to lead you astray. And that's something that I really have to remind myself of daily, because, you know, you wake up in the morning and the world just wants to knock you down. Mm-hmm. So I think just really coming back to that and being like, Lord, help me trust you even when it's hard, because it's not easy all the time.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for sharing all of that. I have chills literally, because this is all stuff I feel like my soul needed to be reminded of today. And just talking to you, I relate to it, most of it. And so I just really appreciate you sharing and talking about the scripture and what God's taught you, because sometimes we just need reminders, and it's so refreshing to hear someone else's heart and story and just say like, oh, okay, I can see some of myself in that, and she's right. And mm-hmm. I feel encouraged by you. So thank you. And then I was just going to say too, with the John 10:10 verse you talked about, that just reminded me a lot of what we were talking about earlier too, where like God has come to give us the abundant life, and the abundant life is so simple. Like you said, it's the things we get from the Holy Spirit, the joy, the love, the peace, and just the planting of seeds. Like each time we wake up and are faithful to the Lord in our lives, whatever that looks like, even if it is so seemingly small, we are planting the seeds that could grow the biggest of trees. And we may not be around to see it, but like, we can trust, going to your Proverbs verse 2, we can trust that God has plans for it, and it's going to turn into something amazing. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing all that you did. It just encouraged my heart, and I appreciate you.
thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. As always, feel free to check out lifeaudio.com. They are the wonderful folks who support us and support our podcast. So if you go to their website, you will find a bunch of other faith-based podcasts as well as ours. You can also go to sparklefaith.com and find us there. Thanks and have a great week.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.